what you're going to get this far. Good. So I was looking some more at commitments after the workshop we had. Mm-hmm. And there's just these some interesting things I saw. One is that it's like almost everything is a commitment. In that sense of just, you know, staying alive.
Uh-huh. Staying alive is a commitment. Yes. Uh-huh.
And
it's the biggest commitment.
It is, really. Mm-hmm. And to keep on keeping on, mm-hmm. you know. And what I saw was that there's so many little tiny commitments that I either keep automatically, or I have, and then I forget about, and then I pick them up again, and then, you know, and they're all, of course, for me at this point, you know, they're all in some way leading, or, you know, hoping to lead to presence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a way in which the workshop reframed commitments. Right, mm-hmm. because it allowed you to see all of the agreements with life you keep, mm-hmm. all of the agreements with life that perhaps we may forget and then recommit to. Mm-hmm. But all of the way your entire life is constructed, including just staying alive, is a commitment to presence.
Yeah, and because it's like, how was I seeing that when you were saying that? I don't know. But, they're all important, even though
yes.
they're little.
Yes, they're you know. All important because they're bringing you presence.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the scale of the commitment is, it's just that if the commitment is bringing you here, then it's a commitment to bringing you here.
Exactly, uh-huh. exactly.
I think you once, I remember you saying this once, in some place, but there are no trivial moments.
Right.
Because every moment is a moment of life, so how can it be trivial?
That's right.
And so that's the same place with, if there's every commitment to presence is an equally important commitment.
Yeah, because that reminds me of, you know, that one moment in your, well, it's in the scriptures called, one moment in your courts is worth 1,000 elsewhere.
Yeah.
So if we trivialize that one moment, or like it's not worth anything, we've missed an opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've missed an opportunity if we count one moment as not counting.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also saw, you know, I was like last night when I was writing my love letter, so that's another, you know, it's so interesting with that. So the very first one I wrote, I thought, you know, conditioning comes in and says, how can you'll never be able to do this every night for a whole year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which is so not true.
Well, it's so not true. I mean, that's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would project, right, Phil, that if we're looking at it in the framework you just laid out, where every commitment is a commitment to presence, and therefore every commitment, no matter what, every moment is important, then there's not that voice in your head that says you'll never be able to do this forever, coming back to this moment to pick up the, however you write it, pen, pencil, computer, whatever it is, to write the love letter, is a commitment back to presence, right? It's not, I mean, to me, that's the thing we do not see, mm-hmm. that the story of ever and ever and ever a day, mm-hmm. it's like if life was like that, it would be impossible. Mm-hmm. But life isn't like that. Life is a series of moments. Mm-hmm. So in any moment, I only have to commit to this moment.
Exactly.
Then life is so manageable, mm-hmm. because it's the only moment that I have to be in.
That's right. It's just this. It's just
this.
This.
It's just this. This moment I pick up the pen. Yeah. This moment I write whatever it is that's coming.
Yeah.
That story of continuity, mm-hmm. that we get discouraged and mm-hmm. overwhelmed by, mm-hmm. the commitment to presence teaches us that that story is a lie. Because next moment, next breath, I might not even be here.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing was that I was actually getting ready to write that. What dropped in was one of those, clarity moments, and it wasn't anything big deal about it, but it was like I saw so clearly how everything is process, everything. Mm-hmm. And what it did was it reinforced just that little glimpse, reinforced everything about what I do, you know, how I am, how I be in this life. And it's like the content, and I know, see, we say all this, but you know what it is?
When the veil parts, it's a completely different experience.
And it can't ever, I mean, the pop of it will go away, but not the what I saw. And yes. It was
well, that's so important, the exquisite brightness.
Yeah.
Might not be what I experienced, but what I saw in the clarity never goes away.
No, because it's like content really doesn't count in that sense of, I mean, it does what we, you know, our actions and all that, but all that can be part of the process. And I guess we could just say it easily, it really is the how. And you know, the sincerity, the attitude of mind, what the love we bring, and it makes it turns everything into process. And so it's like you know, that keep on keeping on is all that's required. That's all that would make, if you want to do it anthropomorphically, however you say that. You know, anthropomorphically.
Anthropomorphically,
yeah,
yes.
Some close. So that's what makes life, God, whatever you want to call it, smile.
Yeah.
You know, the willingness to keep on keeping on. Forget perfect, you know. I mean, it's just, and forget, you know, if you forget and you just get back on. You just get back on the horse, you know, just keep back on.
So what I heard you say is the clarity for you was around the notion of everything is process. Not just notion, but the realization that everything is process. And by what you mean by process, I project, is everything is a how. Mm-hmm. Whereas what we're conditioned to is everything is a what. So if I did yoga and if I did my meditation, mm-hmm. and if I went to work on time, and if I you're a good person, it's all static, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're conditioned to from a place of separation, because everything is objectified, mm-hmm. everything is outside, everything is separate from this, and I have to achieve it. Mm-hmm. So it makes the living, as you said, a very static process. Mm-hmm. But to get it. Very static, can't be static process. It's very static,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But process is the dynamism of the how.
Yeah.
So as long as I am here with sincerity doing yoga, then I'm in the process of sincerity. Doing the yoga is not as important as being sincere about doing the yoga.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Because if I do the yoga and I'm not sincere, I'm not actually in a commitment to presence. Which is what makes the commitment important.
Yes, and that's what I think what you said, it kind of helped me remember that, or if I get it before it goes away, the feeling that even doing yoga, or doing yoga, you're doing yoga sincerely, it's a process, mind wanders.
Come back here.
It's like, so what?
Yes.
Because that's where conditioning would say, oh, God,
yeah.
I can't go
back. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just like meditation, you bring it back.
Yes.
And, you know, I think...
Because I think what you're pointing to there, right, Phil, if you're a sincere practitioner, you can get caught into, if any reason the the mind wanders, then somehow or the other that is, I'm not keeping the commitment, or I'm not keeping the commitment perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you recognize that everything is a process, and committing to presence is not just staying in presence.
Mm-hmm.
The process of presence is movement away and movement back, movement away and movement back.
Uh-huh.
I'm here, I wander, I come back is the process of staying here.
Yeah.
And so what conditioning does is it cuts off that part that you can wander.
Yes, yes. And you know, and you did talk about this, I was going to try to get on the call at that point, but the part where conditioning comes in after and tries to, you know, for years, and I've said this in here too, you know, I meditate, and at the end, the conditioning would come in and say, how did it say it? You blew that one, you know, or I wouldn't hear the words, but I know I got a F minus or something for that one.
Yeah.
And I think after, probably was after we talked about it in here, that I really, really, every time at the end of meditation, I would start to feel that coming and would just go to gratitude.
Yes. That's how you train out of it.
Yeah, and it did, because now, I mean, I'm always just going to, I mean, that's just what happens at the end of meditation rather than the score or the, you know, the feeling bad.
Yeah, well, a couple of things about that. I don't know how many sits do you think you've done, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands of sits.
Yeah.
And so that that place of there's the how. The sitting is the how.
Yeah, it's
it
the
doesn't
sitting.
Matter what happened in the sit, because part of the process of committing to being present is to sit on the cushion.
Yes, and it's sitting there with sincerity and the love that can be there.
Right.
I mean, even if you're grumpy, it's sincerity.
Yes, and the training is, okay, I notice I'm grumpy, or I notice I'm compassionate, but I'm still going to bring my breath back to my attention back to here. It doesn't matter what the quality of the mental experience is,
right.
Because the process I'm in is redirecting the attention.
Yes.
And so that place of training we were talking about is, at the end of every sit, I notice the attention goes to an assessment of a negative score.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know that moment I'm training to bring my attention to gratitude, so that the conditioned in that place of process, because process is dynamic, but process is structured.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of meditation for you, the end of the process of meditation is always a bad review.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I notice that, I can train with not having the attention go to a negative review and change the structure of my meditation. That is the moment I don't have presence, and that's the moment I'm training to bring attention to here.
Exactly. And I think, as an aside, after some years of that, I noticed that it is somewhat, I don't even know how to say that, because it probably comes and goes, but easier to not to exactly stay present, but to go back to it easier.
I
didn't do anything to make that happen.
Except practice, breathe,
and
sit on the cushion.
Well, and then at the end, not to go with those voices.
That's right. And it does become easier. I mean, I think that's what the Buddha taught, right? That there are samskaras. That's what conscious awareness is. Grooves in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the grooves that have been worn over our lifetimes that we're carrying around.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this lifetime, I'm attempting to not feed the groove and feed the groove that I want.
Yeah.
So like the river, right? The silt, it runs because the silt is banked in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I shift the silt around so that the river runs in a different way.
Yeah. And one more analogy that dropped in was, I don't forget that guy's name who's pushing a rock
Tantalus, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus, yeah, that was the S word. So pushing the, you know, that boulder up the hill, that could be content or process. And if when I'm doing that in process, there's no trying to get the rock up, the boulder up the hill. There's no, and it gets lighter and lighter and lighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That if you shift the what you're doing, I think this is what you're pointing to, as to be pushing the rock up the hill, because that implies a destination, it implies
exactly.
effort, it implies outcome.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm all I'm doing is moving the rock,
mm-hmm.
whether it's uphill or downhill, then it's completely different what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I'm doing it consciously with sincerity and love or whatever, because this is what the moment is requiring. And
yeah, it completely changes the orientation to life. Right?
Wow, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
And there's so much gratitude for practice. Cause, yeah. Thank you.
Cameron.
Oh, this is wonderful. I thought it was really magical that we had to kick off on January 19th. Because I had read just before the workshop that January 19th is called Quitter's Day. Because that's when, by January 19th is when most people have given up their resolutions for the new year.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, isn't this wonderful?
Shot in the arm that's
yeah,
going to get us to
well,
go.
And that how most resolutions like that are made from conditioning and self-improvement and that we're and structured so that you will quit.
Mm-hmm.
Where in our practice we're into sustainability. Where everything is set up for support and structure and love and encouragement and to have willingness flower
mm-hmm.
and to feel really a part of
mm-hmm.
it, that kind of participation and that kind of that the thrill of that kind that wholeheartedness
mm-hmm.
because conditioning its whole gambit is to get me to okay you can commit but it's a half-hearted commitment
mm-hmm.
whereas practice is a constant encouragement an invitation for wholehearted
mm-hmm.
participation
mm-hmm.
commitment
mm-hmm.
and that half-hearted commitment is an oxymoron.
Yes.
but conditioning will do that. It will
mm-hmm.
make up these terms so that it, you can be in this gray area that it tells you it's kind of a middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
When no, I'm either in the process of commitment or I'm not.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, I am committing, but it's to something I'm not making a choice for. It's being chosen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'll find myself in patterns of behavior or going back to conditioned beliefs and assumptions, and that's where I'm committed.
Yes, yes. I think I'm following because I think what you said was so important that the first of all, the practice structure is set up for that wholehearted participation, right? So if I commit to something, if I'm in process, there's always that sense of the how of it,
mm-hmm.
not the what of it,
yeah.
right? But there's the conditioned process of half-hearted commitment, which is some way, I think you're pointing to this right, Cameron, some way of, it's not wholehearted because you'll be doing the commitment, but the attention is on conditioning.
Yes.
That's really what makes it
yes.
half-hearted. It's not that... You're not here sitting on the cushion.
Right.
You're not here in the garden. You're
right.
not here doing whatever it is, painting, or everything that you commit to, you participate in. The only reason it's half-hearted is that we allow the attention to wander it to conditioned mind and believe that how I'm doing it is half-hearted. That's not
true.
The only thing that's half-hearted, if we could even say it that way, is that we allow our attention to go to conditioned mind.
Yes.
And so wholehearted simply means I'm going to do my best to train not to have attention on that mental process while I'm doing what it is that I'm doing. So the only commitment we make actually is to show up and not listen to that.
Yes. And I have a perfect example is I had such mixed feelings. I really wanted to commit to the commitment workshop, but I had a prior commitment.
Uh-huh.
And it was a workshop I had signed up. It was an art workshop on. And so I saw the whole thing starting to play out. Well, you really should. And this, and if you were, and I just thought that it just trucked in. No, I've made this commitment and it's wholehearted. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there for the entire workshop.
The best commitment workshop.
Best commitment. And so I did. I went to a workshop commitment on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it was, it just, like, whenever I hear the thing about the good, right person, I know yes. I need to pick up the recorder.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
I know I'm being led down that.
To what you've not chosen.
Yes, to what I've not chosen.
Yeah. It's not that the good, right person would choose a practice workshop over an art workshop. It's, this is what I have committed to. What I'm actually committing to is not to have any conversation about it.
Yeah.
That keeping my commitment wholehearted, I'm keeping a commitment to wholehearted participation.
Yes.
For what I've signed up for.
Yes.
Right?
And that pull toward wanting to do more than one thing at one time, it's really important for me to acknowledge that.
Yes.
That I want to do it all.
Yes.
And I'm doing it all by committing to what I do show up for.
Yes. And so many levels of that, right, Karen? Because if we live in life, there's so much possibility.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so important to see that if there's something that I have committed to that I really, really want to show up for, that in some way, unless life moves me in a different way, that's the only thing that's on the calendar. Everything mm-hmm. else is hypothetical.
Yeah.
It's all in a conversation that there is an option to do this other thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's where the suffering is, because we constantly live in an alternative possibility that isn't our reality.
Yeah.
It requires a separation from how it is in order to consider the possibility of being the good, right person who would do something else, right?
Yeah.
And so to recognize that conversation for you, which is about being the right person, is the signal to pick up the recorder and come back to the direct experience of the moment and what's the next thing to do,
yeah.
is training.
You know, it's so funny because never once has the mentor said, you know, you are the right person.
No, you're not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not the right.
Yeah, it's like, it's just those kind of words aren't used.
Yeah.
There's no either or, there's no choice in that. It's
yes.
that you are.
Which to me is what we experience when we're not in the conditioned conversation.
Yeah.
Because if the mentor is a synonym for the intelligence that animates, there is no right or good person
right.
in life. Like, that's not the vocabulary of the intelligence that animates.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't say that.
Yeah. It's I see you, I know you.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you everywhere.
Yeah. It's not. That's it.
It's not dualistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, if you want the recording, we can give it to you, Carolyn,
oh.
so you don't get to miss it.
Bless you.
I'll have to send you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So just thinking about the recitation and just on the same vein is about, you know, nowhere in this recitation is, you've reached the top of the mountain and that's it, you're done. But as long as we're in this life and in this body, the duality is going to exist. There's going to be, you know, we are subject to all the stresses and the temptations and the desires and that it's just a process of training.
Yes.
Even looking at it scientifically, that every moment that you come back, even if you were spending 30 minutes in your head, and if at the end you recognize for 1 second that you were doing that, then that's 1 second that you were alive.
That's right.
That you wouldn't have had that otherwise. And each time that there's a returning to the moment, there's another little neuron that connects. And I mean, they've done studies on this, that meditation actually changes the structure of your brain, and that it does require practice in the sense of even showing up and being here. You know, at the end of every meditation, I give myself a little score, and I laugh at it now. Before, I used to actually get upset about it. Oh, I suck at this. And I'm like, oh, that's just so funny. There's that little thing again. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to say whatever it's going to say.
And not attending to it assists me to transform. And because I project what you're pointing to so many things. Again and yet again, made me so.
Right.
I'm turning to the teachings. I'm turning to the Sangha. I'm turning to the truth. I'm not turning to conditioned mind. There's nothing in it that says that that's my training.
Right.
And that points to the fact that there is that conditioned process that we're practicing with. And if we show up and practice the way you're talking about it, there is a transformation that happens.
And it's called practice for a reason. It's not to be achieved in 3 seconds. It's a lifetime. It's never going to end. It'll never be.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Right. And every time we said that, I was just like, that is it. It's not just reciting it. There's a meaning in every single one of these words, and it's training. It is a lifetime. There's no athlete that achieves the MVP. That doesn't mean they're done. The next day, if they don't practice, they're going to. So it's the judgment around, oh, I'm a good practitioner or a bad practitioner. I spent an hour in enlightenment, or I spent there. None of that exists. All it is the returning and the coming home. And like last week, we were talking about the orbit. And how you can never be out of orbit.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it. You're somewhere, maybe in the far off galaxy, but you're still in orbit somewhere. But at some point you'll come closer to the sun or the center or whatever you want to call it. And something I've noticed, and I've spent so little time coming back to even practicing, that there's been a few moments that have just surprised me in a time that I know previous to having come back and making a commitment again to practicing, I never would have come out of that stressful situation and just spontaneously sat there and took a deep breath and out of nowhere closed my eyes, and the only word that came into my mind was thank you. Mm-hmm. Just pure gratitude washed over me, and even for a second I was in shock that it happened. It was not something I was trying to come to sit down and like work through this right now. Nope, it just came upon me, and I realized this is what practice is for. It will eventually come about more often, spontaneously, where there is no effort. It will just come, and the struggle to like, how come everywhere in between I'm not in the moment? That's life. Yeah. It is what it is. At some point, there will be more moments spent spontaneously here.
Yes.
And that's all I can hope for, is to just train. And as long as I commit to that, that's all that matters.
Yes. So I think what you're pointing us to is the process of what we do in spiritual practice. It's a training. I'm training, I make certain commitments that assist me to train to have the attention in the moment. And as long as I keep doing that, as long as I commit to the training, there's a way in which the transformation happens. And it's wonderful when we get those experiences that everything we've done to train results in that moment of clarity and awareness and feeling supported or feeling gratitude or whatever. And it's those five practices we talk about in the daily recollection, right? Practice of loving kindness, pure attention, ever expanding faith, devotion, and inquiry. So if I'm in that, if I'm doing inquiry and paying attention devotedly, then I do have the experience of loving kindness and faith. And it increases my faith to continue the training. It's a glorious process that doesn't involve me at all.
Right. And there has to be faith in, I mean, I just developed a few grains of faith how it happened spontaneously, realizing like, it just happened. Like, that's where the faith comes from. Like,
from your experience.
Yeah. And you sort of go, see, and I don't have to believe there is no I, doesn't have to believe this 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what I believe.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, because that I is actually who I'm, that I does not exist. The me that I'm listening to does not exist. It's all the figment of my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. And it's just amazing to even have 3 seconds, 1 second of that freedom. It spills over to the rest of your life. It's incredible. I am shocked, actually, by what has happened in just a month of just spending a little more time, you know, practicing.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a fraction of the rest of my life that I spend practicing actively, but I try to do it in the car. I'm, like, washing the dishes. All of it is an opportunity to feel the water, the bubbles on my hands. Like, all of that is, I'm here washing the dishes, and I'll catch myself, and I'm off in la-la land thinking about something. Well, I'm not here. How about I just enjoy the feeling of the water on my hand right now?
Which is being here.
Is being here.
Yeah.
And not escaping the only life that I have, which is this moment.
Yes, exactly so. It's amazing, too, that we have that clarity. Because it comes from paying attention. That we arrive at how to practice and how life is through our experience. Rather than listening to a conditioned conversation about how it should be. And mm-hmm. part of practice is just realizing that me and the conditioned conversation are actually lies. If I actually pay attention to how life is, there's all the wisdom that I need to participate in it. So mm-hmm. I'm washing the dishes and I'm not present. Well, I'm gonna experience the bubbles. That's having the life that I have.
Right. And it doesn't have to necessarily be sitting here on a cushion, although that is very, very important to do that, and I talked myself out of that for a long time.
Or you get talked out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But
not you talk yourself. Yeah. That I doesn't exist.
Yeah. There's someone who listens to the voices, and I become the sheep and follow the herd in my head and says, no, you don't actually need to dedicate any time to doing nothing but actually practicing. Facing the wall, doing nothing, no looking at anything, no, you know, there's no distraction. But, you know, it can arguably happen, you know, like I took a dance class and I spent an hour thinking about nothing. Nothing crossed my mind because it was such a deeply enjoyable act, you know. So it's just, I don't think it has to be necessarily sitting here, but that sitting here allowed me to have that experience doing something totally outside of sitting on a cushion and have the same joyful experience of not being in my head for an hour and being in the moment, enjoying the dancing and hearing the music. And then that is all that life is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get any better than that. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that we sit on the cushion, as you're pointing to, because sitting on the cushion is that training to direct the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, wherever we do that, that's available in other places. It's harder mm-hmm. to train
right.
the attention in places where we don't have the ability to do that. So now right. I train my attention while I dance, or I train my attention while I do my dishes. Every opportunity is an opportunity to train.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Train the attention.
Yeah, but I definitely feel like there has to be some of this, because without this, it's like you said, it's like kind of like taking off the training wheels.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a part of me that knows I'm not ready to have the training wheels off.
Well, and also that there is a way we train on the cushion that is not duplicable, however you would pronounce that,
yeah.
On the dance floor.
Right.
Right? That there is, the structures we have in practice have been honed over centuries
mm-hmm.
because they provide something that other things don't provide. So periods of solitude, periods of internal focus, they're all necessary because it's skills.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to run a marathon, you basically train in a particular structure in order
right.
to be able to run the marathon. And so if you want to be present, there are structures that allow you to do that,
mm-hmm.
that are time-worn and time-tested. And so, as you said,
yeah.
that's your experience. I need this in order
mm-hmm.
to enjoy my
yeah.
experience in the dance floor.
And even sitting here, how just, like you said, the process of inquiry, just being open to it and sitting here and seeing what happens, to have moments of pure joy because you're just here.
Yeah.
And when you realize, when you catch on to nothing in your life, you don't have to have all these things because just being here doing absolutely nothing is beautiful, is pure enlightenment. That just feeds the rest of your life. It's just,
yeah.
it's
yeah,
incredible.
That's,
yeah.
that's not related to things.
Right. And just to have even one moment of that, you can prove to yourself, like, see, you don't have to because you can find happiness in absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then what does that tell you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, conditioned mind comes in strong on that one.
Yeah.
Like there's a huge volume of voice. No, 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 I have to still have all of these things.
Yeah. And you know now that that's not what
you're
yeah. listening to.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Sarah. Oh, sorry. We've come back to Tim. Sarah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's good to, speaking of coming back to, this is the first time I've meditated in a very long time. Mm. I fell off the wagon, and it was so wonderful to sit down, because I've been struggling with, you know, sort of a conditioned experience in my head, and when I sat down, I just felt this, like, very warm embrace,
mm.
you know, that said, here's what you're struggling with.
Mm.
You know, and it was such a kind message, you know, that you've, in a way, you're conditioned to hate yourself, and it's, there's just the opportunity to love, you know, there's the alternative to love yourself, and it felt like sitting on the cushion that it was just this warm little space where that could happen, you know, in the silence of it. So. Mm.
Well, what drops in for me when you say that, right, Sarah, because we often talk about the cushion is the place where you have an intimacy with life.
Mm.
It's an encounter with true nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've had that experience, I mean, it's the place where you struggle with everything and you come home to everything,
mm-hmm.
right? And so having had that practice, that's what the experience feels like. I sit down and here I am with this human being and with the intelligence that animates, having the encounter, and to be that open to receive what life is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
You're here in the warmth of this embrace,
mm-hmm.
and you have been struggling with something that is conditioned to hate you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's have this alternate experience of love.
Yeah. And just one other thing, I had a reflective listening buddy's call this past week, and I was listening very closely, you know, to the words and reflecting them, but I heard something else in the voice, and it was very similar. It's so hard to explain it. It was sort of like there were the words and there was the content that I was reflecting, but at the same time I could hear sort of, I don't know even how to describe the relationship between the two, but a note. You know, that was shining through, and I just thought, God, I love this person, like,
mm-hmm.
I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not about the content, you know, it was just, and it kind of reminds me of what we're talking about, you know, there could be so much distraction from something that just doesn't, I don't know what I'm trying to explain.
I am tracking.
Yeah.
Because what you're pointing at is the how, right? So we always live at multiple levels,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are present enough, that awareness that there's words, there's listening, there's reflecting, and then there's the context of being here for all that, that's also there, which is, to me, what you're pointing to is that it's love. It's a note of the frequency of life itself that accompanies everything that we can be present to also, which this
mm-hmm.
is basically distracting us from all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That the distraction is to only be at this level,
mm-hmm.
not all of those levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that to be completely present is to be aware of context and multiplicity of process and all of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that has a melody or a note.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exquisite to be present to.
Yeah, I didn't put it together with the process of it, but yeah, it also reminds me of just the monastery, and I remember one, I think it was the precepts retreat maybe even, and the last morning I woke up at about 5 a.m. and I had this sense of like this, the sense of this energy of love coming from every direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like, oh my gosh, you're in this. You're in this. This is here. It's always here, but you can't feel it except in the stillness.
Yes. When the voice that you're conditioned to that hates you drops.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess it's similar, or like I'm trying to say, it's like it was similar to the note. It's almost it's an energy that's there that's,
you have to be open and receptive to. Well, and it's what your experience of sitting on the cushion was, I project, is it tells you, you haven't been able to hear me because you have been listening to a conditioned conversation that hates you.
Mm-hmm.
So so get still, and you'll be able to listen to what this is, which is very loving and very warm, and it certainly doesn't hate you.
No, it's so kind and
thank you.
Tim. Wow, really helpful stuff, and it's funny. I was thinking last night about why I wanted to come here today. And because I knew I had to come, because I just had to be here. And what was that about? And it was about, the word that came up was kindness, you know, kindness to myself. Mm. It's kindness to everybody else, too, when I'm kind to myself. But really, the motivator was kindness. And like was shared in the last share, you know, that's how I find it, is that willingness to kind of follow that. Be indulged by that, and the kindness happens in the word that comes up. It's kind of an unfolding when I hear other people sharing about like a process that speaks to me. It unfolds that conditioning, and then I was like, ah, that is what I came here for. I am connected again.
Yes.
You know, it's really helpful to see that conditioning has a constant message for me of, you know, content is king. You know, content matters, content matters, content matters. And that's
things
what you do matters, what, you know, because why else are we here? Then I have to face the point, well, there might not be. You know, I would rather indulge in the story of this is really important. But you know, coming here and hearing things like, well, it's about the process of how you show up. And it turns out, I have been showing up to a lot more things than conditioning has been giving me credit for.
Yeah.
And the relief in that is what I notice.
Mm. Oh my God, so much in that, Tim. So I saw three things when you said that. So the first one is looking at why you want to come here and the answer to that. Even the ability to sit and ask that question, to get really clear for yourself about what it is, right? Mm-hmm. And the answer was kindness, that this is the place, this is what we were just looking at. Here's how I come home to myself. This is the space, the time that through which I encounter what I need. And what you encounter when you need in this space, when there's the willingness to cultivate listening to that voice that says, I'm seeking kindness, and following it, is it gets you here.
Right.
And when you're here, we are being, what's being reflected to us is the unfolding. The conditioning melts.
Right, yes, that's
right?
My experience. Yes.
And it doesn't matter what is said, but the conditioning can't sort of be here in the face of that. We find ourselves melt into being here, into that kindness that is here and that's being reflected. And it's a beautiful resonance, right? And you get that experience of, that's why I do this. That's why I do this, because I want to encounter the intelligence that animates and be here for it. Right?
Yeah.
And then when we practice together as a sangha, you have the insight of, here's how I'm kept away from that is through the content. The focus on what I do is important, and it's now available to me through that process that's not true.
Right.
And wow, I do show up for so many more things that I'm told that I show up with for. And the truth is what I rest in, because I'm present for it, rather than the conditioned process that only wants you to see what it is, rather than what is true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just so funny, because there are, you know, definitely times out there where it's like, well, I should come here, and you should check off that box, and it should mean something. You should
get something
return on investment, right?
Yeah.
If we're spending our time here, you know. What's in it for, you know, and how many, like I had this experience recently. My mom volunteered to take my four-year-old to a movie, so I had all this, like, all of a sudden it was unstructured time that hadn't been planned for, which is like a glitch in the Matrix. And what I saw, it was really awesome. What I saw was, sometimes I can't tell the difference between subpersonalities and conditioning, but what it seemed like was there was a lot of different me's vying for that time. Mm-hmm. The cooking me, the exercise me, the watch TV me, the artistic me, whatever. And it was like, we have this time, so let's run around and do like 20 seconds of each, right? And what I saw too was another subpersonality or conditioning trying to people please, manage all of those. So you get a little bit of this, and you get a little bit of this. And it was really wonderful to see that. My choice in that moment was to sort of have a sense of humor about it. Like, it was just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like you're going to do 20 seconds of each thing trying to please subpersonalities, condition, whatever it is. But this whole process. But to come here and hear that there's really nothing so much to figure out there. Like, there's nothing in those, it's not like, I mean, you just kind of pick one and see what happens, but you know what I mean? There's not a right.
Yes.
Like, always go with the cooking one, always go with this one. Yeah. It's just, you know, that content, that thing to do, there's no, conditioning wants that to mean a whole heck of a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. That somehow or the other, if I hear what you're saying, several things that you're saying, Tim, is that here's the unstructured time, and when that arrives, when something happens, when the glitch in the matrix happens, right, you're actually aware of that process you're talking about, which is, oh my God, I want to do this, and 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 somehow this, whatever, 2 hours has to be the perfect 2 hours, because I never have 2 hours right. of unstructured time. So I have to maximize that 2 hours by making sure that I do everything I'm not allowed to do, because I never have unstructured time. So that's the process you're pretty watching, much, yeah. pretty much, right?
Yeah.
That by doing, you have to do everything or do the right thing, because somehow or the other, those 2 hours have to be perfect.
Yeah, that nails it.
And to realize that, okay, If I'm living process, it doesn't matter what I do. I just need to enjoy these two hours, right? Whatever I do, because I don't have it.
Well, that's another thing that, in again, that unfolding, there's this beauty that I have to have a sense of humor about, because it's tremendously ironic that conditioning says do this, this matters, and I'm not allowed to really do it once I get there. You know,
exactly.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Is I get there and I'm like, I'm gonna do this, and it's like, but what about? You know, so that's the thing.
It's the wholeheartedness that we were talking about. That if I get process is the only thing that matters, then clearly I just want to be here for these 2 hours in a way that I'm not allowed to be. Doesn't
right.
matter if I cook, and it doesn't matter if I paint, and it doesn't matter if I wash windows, and it doesn't matter if I sit with a cup of tea for the whole 2 hours, as long as I'm here for it.
Right, but that's the condition doesn't want that.
No, because content is
here. It wants me to believe that there's a right thing to choose.
Yes.
That would be maximum enjoyment.
And what you're noticing is that the right thing to choose, you can spend the entire 2 hours being dissatisfied because
right.
I'm in a conversation about choosing what is the right thing to
right.
do.
Yeah.
And then choosing one and being dissatisfied because that's not the right choice.
Which brings the whole thing back to commitment, where you said, I have a commitment with X, and something else that comes in is like a story about
yeah.
what could be.
Yes.
And I got tons of those. You know, there's
yes.
just a lot of that.
Yes.
So
well,
it's
because,
really cool to see it.
Because this kind of experience will allow you to, if you internalize it, record about it, reflect on it, to get to that place of, I love this because life has a language that conditioning distorts. Right?
Mm.
Because the glitch in the matrix is 2 hours of unstructured time. What life is signaling, you don't need to do anything.
Right?
We don't, because we're so programmed to do,
Right.
When a meeting gets canceled for me, to me that's a celebration of life offering me to be. Just be. Not only are you not required to show up anything, I'm creating the opportunity for you to have a relationship with me that is not about doing.
Wow. Yeah.
How do we learn to be in communication with the emptiness of the intelligence that animates if we don't train with it? So to me, every canceled meeting is a celebration of not scheduling anything. Right? I'm going to go sit with a flower. I'm going to have the cup of tea. I'm going to take a walk to be.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm realizing that there's even my unstructured time is structured.
That's right. It always is because that's the content orientation.
Yeah.
We lose our ability to be because we're so programmed to do.
Yeah.
And that's truly the how. Being is sincere. Being is joy. Being is enjoyment. You don't get that out of doing anything. I mean, we have that experience over and over and over again. Doing something doesn't give you the experience of joy.
Right.
Joy is a state of being, and I won't have it if I don't train with it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I got my money's worth. Good deal.
Well, that's a good way to say it, too. Thank you. Autumn.
Well, the thing that I saw while the last conversation was happening was this thing that I've often said, which is, I don't like going to yoga or writing. I like having gone to yoga or having written.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And I think that really speaks to what I was hearing today, which is, it's because these are things that I'm doing out of a desire to, I think it was Brené Brown that said something to the effect of disprove my inherent unworthiness, or, you know, make it clear that I'm a good person, or I'm doing the right thing, or I'm whatever. Occasionally when I'm writing or when I'm in yoga, some of that resistance will drop away and I'll be there and have, you know, an experience of being there, and it's wonderful. But even like coming here on Sundays and Thursdays, there's resistance all the way in the car, all the way to get here. Even to get out of bed and come on Sunday mornings in particular, because it's a lazy morning. And so today the best I could do is to be like, well, I'm gonna go, but I'm not gonna put on regular pants. I'm gonna wear pajamas. And and I was like, okay. And so like this is how, like the talking myself out of doing the things that, there's moments where I'm really connected to those things, but there's this voice in my head that's like, you don't even really like doing all these things. Why do you do all that? And so I was noticing when you were talking about just being with the experience, I was realizing that for me, a lot of it is actively not being with the experience when I'm in it, but then after it, feeling good and feeling happy that I did it. So that was just something that I noticed.
It's a very, very good thing to notice.
Yeah.
Because what you're noticing is process.
Yeah.
So what the process you're in mostly, and it's not just you, believe me, all of us are in, mostly in a process of resistance.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to do this. 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 So then you go do something. And afterwards, oh, you did it. You're in the process of having done it. Right? Mm-hmm. And so to really see what you saw, which is I'm never in it.
Yeah.
I'm occasionally in it. But even when I'm in it, my mind is, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Right? And so the part of spiritual practice, I mean, you can I could chart my 8, 9, 10 years in practice in this way, right? The honeymoon phase, where you're just brimming over with delight because you've discovered the next best thing to happiness, and you're willing to do everything that you want, you're willing to do. And then resistance creeps in. And there's this, it's a very grim process because you're struggling to keep commitments as a way to train against not keeping them. Right? Because every commitment, so forget the arc of practice, every commitment, we were just looking at this yesterday, I'm inspired to keep it, and then I get talked out of it, and then I'm beaten for being the loser that I am, and being told that I'm unable to have a happy life, and therefore there's something wrong with me, which means I need to go to yoga in order to prove that my inherent worthiness is something that I can overcome, then get talked out of it, feel bad, prove my inherent worthiness, and go back into that whole process. It's the only process I'm living in, which is resistance to, and resistance and feeling bad are the two processes that we live in until we stop living in them. And the antidote to that is to show up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because I'm going to wear pajamas and I'm going to come here and I'm going to sit on the cushion. Mm-hmm. Because over time, as she said, there's a transformation that happens. You notice the resistance drop off. You notice that no matter what those voices are saying, I'm going to sit on the cushion in the morning. It doesn't matter. They might be screaming not to get out of bed, but the momentum of my practice will carry me to the cushion. And over time, we start to realize that the voice does not have the ability to control what I do to show up. It has the ability to control my experience when I show up. Mm-hmm. Now I train with something else, which is how to redirect my attention from that voice that is not giving me a wholehearted experience of life that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. But to realize that whole thing is a process.
Yeah.
Right? You can't show up on the cushion and be happy. First you have to show up on the cushion. Then you have to work with the resistance that is preventing your sense of presence.
Mm.
And so training is, what's the process I'm training with right now? The first process we train with is to show up.
Yeah. Well, in the recording, the daily morning and evening recording, I noticed the other night I went to bed and I shot up, when I realized I hadn't done it. And there wasn't any space or time for the conversation to start, because I knew once it started, so I just jumped out of bed and ran into the closet to do my recording. And
I love those moments.
I know, I felt really good.
I love those moments. I mean, we had a retreat somewhere. We had one of those Africa projects where we were doing 10,000 steps a day or something like that. And you could tell people running out to finish their last 1,000 steps, whatever time of the day it was, because there's that momentum. And at a certain point, we achieve that place where not doing it is not an option.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the funny thing is that the way that I jumped up and said, I'll be right back, is that when I came back, my boyfriend thought it was like an emergency, like, what happened? Is everything okay? And there was a sense of, it was an emergency. I kind of feel like, this is my life. Like,
yes.
This is, it does feel sort of life or
it
death.
It is high stakes.
Yeah.
It is life or death in every moment. And every moment that we give ourselves to that, it's not from a self-hating place,
right,
that we go to, it's life or death. From that place that you were in, you understood that you were fighting a battle for this human being's well-being.
Yeah.
Against a really worthy opponent.
Yeah.
So I just love those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live for those moments. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, there was a mention of sub-personalities, and it's sort of like when you do hear all the voices and someone, it tells you whatever, it's like, who is it that doesn't want to go? And it gets real quiet.
Yes.
When you ask who, they all cower. And I've caught myself doing that, like, who is it that doesn't want to go? And it's like, no one raises their hand. It's like, that's what I thought. And it's like, you go.
Yeah.
And the person that shows up is the one that is selfless.
Yes.
There is no way to describe it, because once you put words on it, you're back
exactly
here. But it's sort of like, it's the energy and the flow of the universe that makes you show up. And every time that happens, the victory. And something else I contended with, and I'm like, I am sure I will be out of orbit again. I can feel like this now. It is inevitable that I will be back to square one, off the wagon, and I have to just celebrate the fact that there will be coming home again, though.
Yes.
Because once you felt home, you know you're not home. So the more you practice, the more you realize, I'm not home right now. Because if you don't know what home feels like, then you're just always out in the outside of the orbit, way out in the outer skirts of the universe, and just feeling lost. Even though you're in it, you don't know you are.
Yes.
And it just feels like the more often you have that victorious, I'm back here, I'm just going to laugh at the voices, you don't have to even define it or get caught up in whatever the content was telling you. It's not relevant to spend any time
dissecting, oh, it was telling me this, or was that, it doesn't matter. Even if you're sitting around, I've noticed, even thinking good things, that's a waste of time. Because again, I'm in my head. It's on the other end of the duality, where I'm sitting here reveling in some parallel little story I'm thinking about. No, again, to come back. Because like even that, that is actually, I've noticed, is a very sultry little, what should I say? It's like a tease to bring you into your head. Because sometimes it's good stuff. It's positive thinking. But you're thinking still.
Yes.
And I'm still not here.
Yeah.
And I think that is another place I get caught up, because I don't, you want to stay when it sounds good.
Yes.
But you're still getting enticed to be up here.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very important thing to recognize and practice, that feeling good is not what practice is about. Being here is. And I love what you said about, it's never, it's not static. You're never done. You're always in the process of coming home. I'm always coming from the process. But that's going back to what Phil started us with. The process implies a movement away and a movement back. To struggle, to feel like I'm not the right person because I'm engaged in a life process that is about away and back is silly.
Right.
It's absurd.
Right.
And so when I'm here, I enjoy being here. It's what the Buddha said. When I'm suffering, I remember it's possible not to suffer. And when I'm not suffering, I remember that it's possible to suffer.
Right.
It's the yin-yang symbol. The seed of the other is always in the moment. And that's not a paranoid view. That's just a true view.
It's life. There's not going to be an escape as long as we're in this body. Yes. And I think what made me fall off the wagon was to be like, see, you know, I'm just miserable and I just am a bad person. And see, the fact that I can't, no matter how much I practice, I still come back to this. And so that means X, Y, and Z. And it won for a while. And it's actually accepting and stepping back and going, the river is going to ebb and flow. All I can do is sit back and watch it ebb and flow and hope that the ebbs and the flows are not so extreme, that I won't spend more time in the outer skirts of the universe, and it'll be more likely more often in the middle.
Yeah.
That's all I can hope for in this life.
So well, and you can't know the mean if you're in the polarity, right? So it is, you're always in the mean, but when you're in the mean, it's not all the time. A mean, by definition, a construct of the average, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is taking that implies that you're in the extreme sometimes.
Right.
The understanding of being here implies that I'm here for whatever it is, but life is always on the mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.